So, something from this morning's class? Yes, Paul. What does the pacification of envy have to do with the Lord's service? Because our actual envy is of Krishna. So to serve the one we're envious of, very difficult. But to do so requires the removal of the envy from the heart. But what does that mean, practically speaking? Because we see, practically speaking, I mean, from a simple point of view, we see so many non-devotees who are more gentlemanly and seemingly to possess better qualities than some devotees. What is the meaning of this verse? But the qualities that they're talking about are the qualities of the gentlemanly qualities or demigodly qualities. What's an example of a good quality? Huh? Compassion, humility. Okay, we'll take compassion, because everyone acknowledges compassion as a good quality. Now, say if there is a materialistic person that's compassionate. So many materialistic persons are compassionate. And in fact, the humanistic theory, the basic theory of the materialists is that, even connected with evolutionary theory, is that religion was required to establish proper ethics and proper qualities such as these, compassion, humility, etc., in the dealings, so they're purposeful. So religion is required to establish that, but as we evolve further, we can just learn to act in these ethical ways, and we don't need this artificial, untrue religion. That's basically how the materialistic persons, that's how they view religion. What is the need of this construct of religion to get people to act in ways that are proper for community? But the difficulty is that people act, they forsake one thing to gain something else. And if the thing that they gain, if the satisfaction they gain is greater than what they're giving up, then they will act in that way. So if compassion gives them more pleasure than something else, then they'll act compassionately. Because by definition, a materialistic person is a person who's the center of his thinking, his processes, of his considerations. Who's at the center? Yes, false ego. So if he thinks that this particular, my interest will be served by compassion, then he acts compassionately. But if he thinks his interest will be served by lack of compassion, he'll act in a way that's lack of compassion. So ultimately, manaratain asato davato bayi, that he's traveling on the chariot of his mind. He does what he thinks is best for him. So there's nothing that's completely fixed and steady. No activity, no value is fixed and steady. But when a devotee is a devotee, when a person is actually a devotee, when a soul puts Krishna in the center, then nothing the material world can offer him can move him from his determination to please Krishna. There's nothing the material world can offer him. Nothing. So therefore, he can be fixed in his compassion. He can be fixed in his goodness. He can be fixed in the qualities that Krishna, that are conducive to his devotional service. Basically, the 26 qualities that we know of a devotee. He can be fixed in the brahminical qualities. Because there is nothing in the material world that can lure him away from that. because he's gaining so much from the transcendental platform. So his qualities, such a devotee's qualities, are actually his qualities. He's fixed in them. But a non-devotee, he could be compassionate one moment. You know, he could be protesting about the cruelty to animals at one moment, and the next moment he's eating them. Because he has no... And why are you eating animals? I've tried that in Australia. The people come around to the... They knock on the doors and they collect money for different things. And they're required to give some percentage to that, and they keep the rest. So I already know that. But one man came around asking about collecting money for the prevention of cruelty to animals. So Burijan, being liking to cause trouble, what do you think I asked him? Are you a vegetarian? And he said, no. And I said, get out! Whatever he'd buy, I wasn't going to give him any money. No, that was before. But because there's no fixedness. There's no fixedness. But a devotee, what can allure him in the material world? What can allure him from doing those things that will please Krishna? If we put all the wealth of the world, anything that allures one of the world on one side, but there's Krishna on the other side. Krishna is so much heavier and so much more alluring. So therefore he's fixed. But let's go through Prahlad's prayers quickly, and then we'll get... And I'm supposed to read the 13th, and I think 13th and 14th. We've read up to the 12th. So... In the first three prayers, 8, 9, and 10, Prahlad explains, he prays to Lord Narsingadev to vanquish his demon-like desire for fruit of activity. So this is the first thing that he prays for, to remove the material desires. And notice that he's taking shelter of Krishna to do this. He's not depending, because we heard in the previous prayers that Maya is so powerful that it can force us to do any crazy fruit of act. Illusion is so strong, turns everyone into a hypocrite. Protecting animals on one hand. One time I was walking with Srila Prabhupada in Japan, and there was a sign that said SPCA, Society, it means Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And Prabhupada looked at it and he said, SPCA, Society for the Promotion of Cruelty to Animals. In Australia, this happens all the time. They ship animals live to Indonesia and Japan to be slaughtered. Because Australia produces so many cattle, as they call it, as opposed to cows, and all kinds of animals. And the people always protest about the inhuman ways that the animals are transported. Now, not that the ways that they transport the animals aren't cruel, but did they ever think what's going to happen if they gave them all 5-star suites, you know, with and then they kill them on the other side in a humane way? Would you like to be killed in a humane way? No, it's just such illusory energy makes hypocrites out of everyone. So please, with your nails and teeth that are like thunderbolts, because the thunderbolt is so strong and so powerful, and my heart is, these things are so embedded, this desire to act fruitively is so embedded in my heart. I need your nails, which are so strong, to pull them out. So that eighth verse talks about the disease, as does the ninth and the tenth. The ninth verse talks, what is the disease mentioned in the ninth verse that has to be removed?
Envy.
This is the sum total of all bad qualities, envy. And then in the tenth verse, what has to be removed? Material attachment to what? The family life, because family life is such a, it tends, especially materialistic family life, and family life always tends to get materialistic. A devotee can fight that tendency by his purity, because Krishna consciousness is so powerful. But the tendency in family life is to what? Accumulate and need more and more and more and more, and work so hard to get things for the family, and more and more and more and more and more. And the desires are increasing as the family members increase and the needs increase. So these things so much entangle us in the material world. So three diseases, fruit of desire, envy, and attachment to family life. And in 11 and 12, and we'll read 12, 13, and 14, 11 and 12 are the cure for these diseases. And what's the cure mentioned in 11? Associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is the all in all. And Prahlad was really such a person. He can speak from his realized position. So associating, and as Kapila Muni explains, association means hearing from such people. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibration, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contaminations. Yad yad diyatad urugaya vibhavayanti tam tam praneyeshe saranugrahaya. From Lord Brahma's prayers, he enters within the heart in the form of sound vibration, and he establishes himself in the heart according to the desire of the living entity. So that's the first cure. And the second cure explains the result of the hearing. We'll read, that's it. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavad kinshana sarvaya dunastaktara samaste sura harava bhaktasi kuta mahagunam mararatain asato davato vahi. All the demigods, notice that it says, because we usually think of this verse saying that the exalted qualities of the demigods come and reside within the heart of a devotee. But what does it actually say? All the demigods and their exalted qualities. So that's still more. When the demigods are there themselves, automatically their qualities are there. So all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Why? This will be explained in the last part. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? Because he's engaged in the service of the Lord's external energy, and he's driven by his own mental speculation. What part of the verse is that? The Sanskrit. On the chariot of his mind, wherever his senses are dragging him, whatever, because he doesn't have an absolute reference point. He doesn't have to please anyone. His morality, what he will do, is always shifting. And the devotee, by definition, keeps Krishna in the center. So this is the essence of what it means to be a devotee. It means to be keep Krishna in the center. And a devotee, one who is surrendered to this specific point of keeping Krishna in the center, acting to please Krishna, The opposite is mararaten asato davato bahi. Always constantly shifting center as his senses. He's riding the chariot of his mind, and the mind is being pulled by the five senses, going here and there. So did you read this verse this morning? And the next one too?
No.
Okay. So it sounds like almost like a sectarian condemnation. You know, devotees have all good qualities, and non-devotees have no good qualities. But Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, very quickly, even if a devotee doesn't have good qualities because his center is right, he's fixed, he'll quickly achieve those. He has Krishna on his side too to help. Kauteya Pratijayani Name Bhakti. Well, a non-devotee has always his what's good and bad must always keep shifting according to what he happens to value at the moment. So it's what the material modes are dictating, and the modes of nature are very heavy dictators. So 13. So being a devotee and having good qualities, placing Krishna in the center, and associating with and hearing from exalted devotees. This is really the cure. And then 13 and 14, these verses speak the conclusion of the prayers of whom? Of Prahlad Maharaj. And the conclusion is, just Harir hi shakshad bhagavan shariram sharirinam atma jihasanami vitoyamipsitam hitwa maham stam yadisajate grehe tadman mahatvam viyasad dampatinam. The Lord, just as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water. All conditioned living entities naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great by material calculation fails to take shelter of the Supreme Soul, but instead becomes attached to material household life, his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. Perhaps we can put the volume down a bit. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. So the two are in opposition, being attached to Krishna and being attached to Maya. They are opposed to each other. Cannot do both at the same time. And for a devotee, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how he appears to be doing both, but actually, in other words, he can be engaged in family life, but Krishna consciousness is, or doing anything. He could be fighting like Arjuna. He could be purchasing paper and buying and selling in the marketplace, like Prabhupada was doing it, even as a sannyasi. But Krishna is so attractive, the devotee's mind could be focused only on Krishna. And he could be not engaging at all in fruitive activities. But if one becomes too attached to material life, he will lose all his spiritual qualities. So there's an admonition in there. And just because it is possible to engage externally in something that might be seen as materialistic, like family life, and it's possible to do that and be a pure devotee, please know that it doesn't mean that if I do that, I will be a pure devotee. Because it's very easy to become overwhelmed by materialistic fruitive activities. So therefore one has to be very careful. And what did Prabhupada say? the care was in the previous prayers. Anyone remember? In a purport. How to be careful when engaging in activities that could be materialistic, but a devotee keeps Krishna in the center. But what's the carefulness? Rigidly following the rules and regulations and chanting 16 rounds a day, 16 quality rounds a day. Because there's so much difference between attentive rounds and inattentive rounds. Has anyone noticed this? It's like night and day, darkness and light. So we are meant to stay within the vast water of spiritual life, having taken shelter of the Supreme Soul. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Although crocodiles are very fierce animals, they are powerless when they venture out of the water onto land. When they are out of the water, they cannot exhibit their original power. Similarly, the all-pervading Supersoul, Paramatma, is the source of all living entities. And all living entities are part and parcel of Him. When the living entity remains in contact with the all-pervading Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, He manifests His spiritual power exactly as the crocodile exhibits His strength in the water. What did Prabhupada say there without looking? Yes, Prabhupada.
If we are in contact or in line with the Super Soul,
he didn't say in line, he said in contact.
In contact, then we are like a crocodile who is in his element in the water.
So he gains strength. So what does it mean to be in contact or in line? In line in the sense of in the service. So what does it mean to keep one? This is what everyone is longing for. And this is what Maya is always trying to stop us from doing. What does it mean to be in contact always with the Supreme Lord? So always fixed in somehow remembering Krishna. Even when doing service. Tetasa sabakamani, maya sanyasya matpara, buddhi yoga mupashita, manchita satatambhava. For all activities and their results just depend on me, and always, so when we do service, we have to depend on Krishna and work always under my protection. Then it's bhakti. Even if our service is something simple like sweeping the floor for Krishna, do we actually need protection to sweep the floor? Well, if Krishna takes away our sweeping power, what are we going to do to sweep the floor? And don't think he can't do it. So through dependence, through acknowledging our dependence on Krishna and acknowledging our need for Krishna's protection continuously, then we always keep in contact with Him. So what is the prerequisite for doing this? Yeah. Yes. Okay, that wasn't the one I was thinking of, though. I was thinking of humility, understanding that we have no ability to actually protect ourselves, and whatever we tend to depend on our own abilities, and they're insufficient. So we have to practice in life for death. Because then it's obvious. Now it's true, but not so obvious. So this is what Krishna consciousness means. It means keeping ourselves continuously in contact with Krishna and living always protected by Krishna. So when the living entity remains in contact with the all-pervading Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, well, how wonderful. Anta bihir rastita, that Krishna is all pervading. So someone who's everywhere, say if a person is thousands of miles away, so hard to keep in contact with them. But if someone is all pervading, it's so easy to keep in contact with them. You just say the person's name and boom, they're there. And then, and even if you just remember that they're here always, you keep in contact with them. That person just remembering them. The personality of Godhead, he manifests. So listen to this. When the living entity remains in contact with all-pervading Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, he manifests his spiritual power. So this is wonderful. This is how to, we have to keep in the water of Krishna consciousness. In other words, the greatness of the living entity can be perceived when he's in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada is saying that someone who's always in contact with Krishna, even though he appears to be in the material world, is in fact in the spiritual world too. Engaged in spiritual activities. Many householders, though well educated in the knowledge of the Vedas, become attached to family life. They are compared herein to crocodiles out of water, for they are devoid of all spiritual strength. Their greatness is like that of a young husband and wife who, though uneducated, praise one another and become attracted to their own temporary beauty. This kind of greatness is appreciated only by low-class men with no qualifications. What in English, there's an expression, or in American English, a mutual admiration society. You know that one, Maharaj? Mutual admiration society. That we get together, the two or three of us, and we just talk about how wonderful we are. We admire each other. So this is just food.
Like putting your head in sand?
Well, but it's putting it with friends.
Putting your head in sand.
With friends. And then talking, although your head's in the sand, but how great, good, how good you are. That's not what's being discussed here. That kind of friendship. It's talking about where there's a husband and wife and they're so enamored by each other. That, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so beautiful and you're so strong. And in this way, they have this little universe constructed that's very, very, very small. And this is called the honeymoon period. It happens. Isn't that a funny word too? Honeymoon? It's just so sweet. You like that, huh? Why? Honeymoon, isn't it sweet? Huh? I haven't thought of it like that. But so the point is, this one's, we're coming up to the admonition for the sannyasi, so don't worry. In the Vedic and also for the old householders too, no one should waste his time in the so-called happiness of materialistic household life. In the Vedic civilization, this time of crippled life is allowed only to one's 50th year, when one must give up his family life and enter either the order of vanaprast, independent retired life for cultivation of spiritual knowledge, that's the purpose of vanaprastha life, or sannyas, the renounced order, in which paratmanishtam, one completely takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means they're simply a wandering mendicant with no shelter other than Krishna. Therefore, here is Prahlad's conclusion. After saying what the cure was, what the problems were, what the cure for the problems were, and what the conclusion is, that everyone should be always in contact with Krishna. Therefore, O demons, he talks to the other members of his family, give up the so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is the root cause of material attachment. Indefatigable desires, unending desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and the desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. The consciousness becomes filled with these desires, and there's simply no room left for desiring to become an eternal servant of Krishna. The example that we used to hear is that if you fill up a glass to the very, very, very top with milk, and then you pour some other substance in it, it's already full. And if you notice that glass, there's some tension in the water, so the water can rise above the top of the glass. Yes? Yes, you have seen?
Yes.
So then if you pour some substance in, it will just go over. But if the cup is not full, brimming, then what will happen? Then the other substances, the other desires will enter and contaminate. So the lesson of this one is that we really have to be filled with Krishna conscious desires. If we're not, material desires must enter because we are living in the materialistic atmosphere. So therefore we have to become really, really enlivened in Krishna conscious, with Krishna conscious desires. Before His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj left this world, there was a GBC meeting. He left in the evening. I can't remember exactly the time. But in the afternoon, there was an afternoon session of the GBC meeting, and I happened to be attending that. And the meeting was talking about someone who wanted to take sannyas. He was an old man. He was like 70 years old. And someone suggested they put him on a 5-year waiting list or something like that. And he was like 70 years old. Oh, just let me tell my story and then privately you can ask me things, curiosity, please. So I said, well, you know, how can we put a 70-year-old, 68-year-old man on a 5-year waiting list? And then somehow the meeting ended. And then I was talking to Gaur Govinda Maharaj and I said... And he agreed with the point, and he said, we have to encourage him. And I said, we have to encourage him. And he said, it is the duty of the Vaishnavas to encourage the other Vaishnavas. And he was so powerful, and that instruction entered very deeply. It is the duty of the Vaishnavas to encourage the other Vaishnavas, because if we don't encourage each other, golly gee, it's so difficult to keep enthusiastic. Not flatter, but encourage. Because it's so important to keep our cup of desires in Krishna's service, to serve Krishna, filled to the very, 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 very top. And then anyway, that night he left. So Prahlad said if we should give up so-called happiness of family life and take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nrisingadev. Now we are moving our varsha to Ketumala varsha. And we won't read many verses from Ketumala varsha. We will read up to 20. Oh, that's quite a few. 15. Sukadev Goswami continued. In the tract of land called Ketumala Varsha, Lord Vishnu lives in the form of Kamadev, only for the satisfaction of his devotees. These include Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, the Prajapati Samvatsara. What does Samvatsara mean? A year. And all of Samvatsara's sons and daughters, which are the days and nights. The daughter of Prajapati are considered the controlling deities of the nights, and his sons are considered the controllers of the day. The Prajapati's offspring number 36,000, one for each day and one for each night in the lifetime of a human being. At the end of each year, so I assume that's 100 years. At the end of each year, the Prajapati's daughters become very agitated upon seeing the extremely effulgent disk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they all suffer miscarriages. purport. This Kamadev, who appears as Krishna's son named Prajumna, is Vishnu Tattva. How this is so is explained by Madhvacharya, who quotes from the Brahmanda Purana, Kamadeva stitam Vishnum upaste. Although this Kamadev is Vishnu Tattva, his body is not spiritual but material. Lord Vishnu, as Prajumna or Kamadev, accepts a material body, but he still acts spiritually. It does not make any difference whether he accepts a spiritual or a material body, he can act spiritually in any condition of existence. Mayavadi philosophers regard even Lord Krishna's body as material, but their opinions cannot impede the spiritual activity of the Lord. In Ketu Malavarsha, Lord Kamadev, Prajumna, moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful. Ativa sulalita, very beautiful. Gati vilas, so very pleasing. Hashalesh, mild smile. And when he increases the beauty of his face by slightly raising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune. Thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. So in this verse, the word, is it? Or is that in the next one? The Maya Mayam Rupam, the most affectionate form to devotees and deeply merciful. I think that's the next verse. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Prajapati, the predominating deities of the day, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the night, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as Samvatsara, and his most merciful form is Kamadev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras. Purport. We'll read just towards the end Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Maya Mayam by dividing it into the words Maya and Amayam. He explains these words to indicate that because the living entity is covered by the disease of illusion, the Lord is always eager to deliver his devotees from the clutches of Maya, devotee from the clutches of Maya, and cure him of the disease caused by the illusory energy. So what's interesting about that? The words indicate that because the living entity is covered by the disease of illusion, the Lord is always eager to deliver his devotee from the clutches of Maya and cure him of the disease caused by the illusory energy. Anyone find anything interesting? Yeah, that's what I thought. Because usually we speak of Krishna, we speak of devotees as those who are not covered by Maya. There's no, how could one be covered by Maya and still be a devotee? Because Maya's business is to separate us from Krishna, from Krishna's devotional service. And therefore, even the desire to become one with the Lord is called the last snare of Maya, because it separates us from wanting to serve Krishna. So he's eager to deliver his devotee from the clutches of Maya and cure him of the disease caused by the illusory energy. The disease is all so many material desires. So therefore, in the previous verse, there was the prayers. Prahlad is telling everyone to pray to Lord Nrisingadev to remove the material desires. And prior to that, we cannot remove them by our own power. We're insufficiently strong and Maya is too powerful. So Krishna will help with this, but we should take shelter of him. And here are the prayers, and we'll read just the first three. Let me offer my respect. So Lakshmi Devi is offering obeisances to Kamadev, the transcendental Cupid. So these prayers should be quite interesting. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesha. What does Rishikesha mean? The master, the Rishika Isha, the controller of the senses, but the master of the senses. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. The senses should be used in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. So usually when we think of Kamadev and someone wanting to deal with kam or desire, then he is thinking himself as the enjoyer of his senses. So immediately we're going to see something different here. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesh, the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything. As the supreme master of all bodily, mental, and intellectual activities, he is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are his partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are his energy and thus none different from him. And he is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which are also none different from him. Indeed, he is the husband and provider of all necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Therefore, let us all offer him our respectful obeisances. May he always be favorable towards us in this life and the next. So the very things that we consider us, ourselves, the body, the mind, the senses. The body is basically a combination. Which is the biggest sense in the body? Sometimes we think it must be the tongue. Because some people have said, huh? Yes, the skin is the biggest. It covers the whole body, the sense of touch. Biggest sense. Huh? But that's not what I said. I said the biggest. Yes, biggest in square inches. Some people have big noses, but still the skin covers their big nose, so it's still there. So the sense of touch, so this is what we usually think of as us. And yet, even these aspects, the 11 senses, the five sense objects, the mind, this is all coming from Krishna. We are dependent on him. They are meant for his pleasure. Let us worship him. Let us offer him our respectful obeisances. Our mental strength, our physical strength is dependent on him. Let us worship him. Completely different from the materialistic concept. The devotional concept is one depends on Krishna and worships Krishna for everything. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. We'll start in the last sentence of the first paragraph. Krishna is the active principle of everything we need for our maintenance. This verse, offering respectful obeisances unto the Lord, was composed by Rama, the goddess of fortune, and it is full of spiritual power. Under the guidance of a spiritual master, everyone should chant this mantra and thus become a complete and perfect devotee of the Lord. One may chant this mantra for complete liberation from material bondage, and after liberation, one may continue to chant it while worshipping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. All mantras, of course, are meant for this life and the next life, as Krishna himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha dridavrata namashantas tamam bhaktya nityakta upasate. Always chanting my glories, Krishna's glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. The great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. A devotee who both in this life and the next chants the Maha Mantra or any mantra is called Nitya Yukta Upasate. excuse me, yes, Nitya Yukto Pasaka, one who is always connected to Krishna, to always worshipping him. So, what's the point there? We should always chant Krishna's names. We should always be somehow connected with Krishna. This is the safe position for the living entity. But it's not easy to do. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says you can't become fixed. Well, the contaminations of passion and ignorance are there. So therefore, we have to keep praying and praying, and whenever we remember to pray to Krishna to help us and depend on him and protect us. My dear Lord, we'll read 19 and 20 together. My dear Lord, you are certainly the fully independent master of all the senses. Therefore, all women who worship you by strictly observing vows because they wish to acquire a husband to satisfy their senses are surely under illusion. They do not know that such a husband cannot actually give protection to them or their children, nor can he protect their wealth or duration of life, for he himself is dependent on time, fruit of results, and the modes of nature, which are all subordinate to you. He alone, who is never afraid, but who, on the contrary, gives complete shelter to all fearful persons, may actually become a husband and protector. Therefore, my Lord, you are the only husband, and no one else can claim this position. If you were not the only husband, you would be afraid of others. Therefore, persons learned in all the Vedic literatures accept only your lordship as everyone's master, and they think no one else is a better husband or protector than you. Nupati, the protector. And indeed, in the eighth canto, we'll hear how there are so many, when the churning of the ocean of milk takes place, there are so many things that are produced, and one of those things is not a thing, but it's Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi goes searching for her husband, and she examines all the persons she sees. And she says, this one's strong in this way, but weak in this way. This one's weak in this way. This one's weak in that way. This one's weak in this way. This one's weak. And in this way, she found fault and imperfections in everyone. And therefore, she would not take shelter of anyone until she found Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, and then she took shelter of him and became his servant. So, Lakshmi Narayan. So, this point is also given when Yudhisthira Maharaj asks Narada Muni what has happened to Dhritarashtra. Remember that? He's gone. Because he was thinking of himself the pati, the protector. And what did Narada say?
Narada Muni says that Dhritarashtra is depending on.
Yes.
And now Yudhisthira thinks he is dependent on.
Yes. Yeah. And what was the verse? Do you remember? The snake of time has us ready to bite our head off and swallow us, and we're giving protection to others. So ultimately, the protectors, those who are in positions where their business is to protect others, you know, the mothers, the husbands, the whatever, kings. So what was previously said about this? By Rishabhdev. What did he say? You shouldn't take these positions unless you can. Yeah, Guru na sasyat, sajana na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat.
So.
Oh, this is obviously going to be on the test, isn't it? Because, so the real protection, what are we hearing about where the real protection is? What did Prahlad say? Everyone is saying the same thing. You take shelter of the Lord, you worship the Lord. So someone who is worshiping the Lord, who's surrendered to Krishna's protection, he can give protection. He can extend and teach how to accept that protection. But independently, we're all in the grips of the jaws of the snake of time. What can we do to help others? And then we could think from a small perspective. Yes, I can help someone. Someone's hungry, I give them some food. Someone is poor, I give them a shirt. But from the perspective of time, a long period of time, what protection is that? Is the person who is hungry not going to be hungry tomorrow? Is his shirt not going to wear out? Is his body not going to crumble, get wrinkled and then crumble into dust? So what kind of protection is that? It's very small-minded protection. We can give medicine, but what is the real medicine? Not that we shouldn't give medicine, the other kind of medicine. Because when you're sick, you take some medicine, your body is sick. But don't think that that medicine is going to really ultimately help, and nor will it even help in a temporary way unless Krishna sanctions it. So our dependence should be on Krishna. There's a subtle difference. We take medicine but depend on Krishna. So we'll read from that, the purport to 19. In this verse, Lakshmi Devi, Rama, shows compassion towards women who worship the Lord for the benediction of possessing a good husband. Although such women desire to be happy with children, wealth, a long duration of life, and everything dear to them, they cannot possibly do so. In the material world, the so-called husband is dependent on the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of a woman whose husband, being dependent on the result of his own fruitive actions, cannot maintain his wife, her children, her wealth, or her duration of life. Therefore, factually, the only real husband of all women is Krishna, the supreme husband. In Bengali, the word for husband is? Anyone know? Swami. Means master, like that, or protector. Because the gopis were liberated souls, they understood this fact. Therefore, they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as their real husband. Krishna is the real husband, not only of the gopis, but of every living entity. Everyone should perfectly understand that Krishna is the real husband of all living entities who are described in the Bhagavad Gita's Prakriti, female, not Purusha, male. In Bhagavad Gita 10.12, only Krishna is addressed as Purusha. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Purusham, Shashvatam, Dibhyam, Aridevam, Ajam, Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. So the point being, only one who is independent can protect another. And everyone dependent is subject to his karma. How could he protect? And everyone else is fearful and bluffing. Everyone explains Prabhupada should take shelter of Krishna. This is the point, that we should take shelter of Krishna. This is the reoccurring theme. We should take shelter of Krishna, we should take shelter of Krishna, we should take shelter of Krishna. Like these exalted persons. Okay. Prabhupada in the purport to 20 says, for a short time, someone is a political leader or a husband or a guardian. And soon as they, at any moment, they can be removed from their post. So really, one may be married, one may be not married, one may be a husband, one may be a wife, one may be, but we should take shelter of Krishna. This is the point. Surrender means putting yourself under Krishna's protection. And then, and as you're doing that, you act for his pleasure because you're his devotee. Yeah? But what does surrendering mean? And placing yourself under his protection. Go tripte varanam tata. That is the essence of sharanagati. That is the angi. The main part, and everything else is an expansion of that. You act to please Krishna, and as you're doing so, you place yourself under his protection. Not that you just place yourself under his protection and don't do anything. Because worship means it's active. It's active. Bhajate. But the essence of it is not the work. It's the placing yourself under Krishna's protection. But we should work. Naturally, it's natural. We have to work. We have to work for Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, we'll work for our own pleasure. But the essence of that is placing yourself under Krishna's protection. Huh? Sharanagati. Sharanagati. Surrender. In the beginning, surrender means do what you're told. Because we don't know how to act for Krishna's pleasure. But then it's not like that. Seva also. Then they, not just service, devotional service. Not just work, but devotional service, seva. Devotional service really begins with surrender. And everything else is moving towards that, preliminary to that. Surrender means placing Krishna in the center and depending on him for protection. Acting to please him. Yeah? Is it? Oh, by the way, I happen to be, I looked in something in Bhakti Sandarbha, and Jiva Goswami commented, he was asking the question, why, the same question that you asked, why if Jad Bharat as a deer, he remembered the Lord, why didn't he go back to Godhead? Why didn't he reach perfection? And his answer was that in his next life as Jad Bharat, he saw the Lord directly, and that was perfection. He was directly in touch with the Lord always, so he did reach perfection. That was the perfection. Understand?
When did he see him?
He was always seeing him. How could he be so fixed if he wasn't always seeing Krishna? The contradiction being that Bhadrasva is the son of Agnidra. But there may be another reconciliation. I don't know, but there may be another one. That's not the only possible one that is opposed. I can't think of another one. Can anyone? But I thought that wasn't what the point was. Didn't you just say that it's, that one is the son of Yamaraj and the other is the son of Agnidra? So are they the same person?
So every other abortion is different person.
Just like previously there was a Bush who was the president, and years now there's another Bush who's the president of the United States. I don't know if that's the answer, but any other questions or comments? But which, I can't, unless you, the text you don't understand? In the tract of land called Ketumalavasha, that one? Lord Vishnu lives in the form of Kamadev, only for the satisfaction of his devotees. These include Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, the Prajapati's Samvatsara, and all the Samvatsara's sons and daughters. The daughters of Prajapati are considered the controlling deities of the night, and his sons are considered the controlling deities of the day. The Prajapati's offspring number 36,000, one for each day and a night in the lifetime of a human being. At the end of each year, the Prajapati's daughters become very agitated upon seeing the extremely effulgent disk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they all suffer miscarriages. What's there not to understand? But we're just lacking some background information, it seems. I don't know that background information myself. Does anyone happen to know that? You know, why, who are they married to? Why are they agitated? Yes? They stop acting, probably, it would seem.
Yeah, person dies.
There you go, we got the answer. Thank you. Is that clear? That's a good one. Could you write that one down and send that one to me? So even if we don't start on time, we still end at that time. Is that all right? 5 to 5 or something. I'll sing. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.